Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Welcome in, welcome back to the NFC West Mixtape. I'm Rob Stats Guerrero from the 49ers Gold Standard Podcast. That is Dan Viennes from the Seahawks Forever Podcast. This is the show where we take a look at everything happening in the NFL's best division. Dan is at Seahawks training camp right now. Dan, how are you loving life?
I am loving it. It's good to be back in what has always been home for me. It's sunny. It's not humid. It's dry. Little bit of wildfire smoke to deal with, but it's otherwise been gorgeous. And thank you to you for pulling hosting duties 2 weeks in a row. Just a little tough to pull off here from the Larkspur Landing Hotel in Renton, Washington.
No problem. My back is hurting a little bit from carrying us, but we'll get through it. I'm like a lot of 49ers right now, just a little sore, a little banged up. We'll get to some news from everybody in the division in a minute, Dan. But first, we have to start with the Arizona Cardinals, because for the first time in 179 days, we have football tonight in the Hall of Fame game.
We do. Some people might hesitate to call it football, you know, but it's guys with pads, different uniforms, different teams, hitting each other, and I'm sure they're ready for it. Being out at Seahawks training camp yesterday, well, the last 2 days, I got to see a padded practice on Tuesday, a non-padded one yesterday, and it just kind of, yesterday was one of those where it felt like there was a little bit of energy lacking. I think you get to that 10, 12th practice of camp, and you just get tired of seeing the same dudes lining up across from you. So I'm sure the Cardinals are itching to get going under their new head coach, Mike LaFleur.
And, you know, I always look at, first of all, I'm going to watch because it's football and I miss football. And yeah. I love it. But it's competition for the team that I root for and cover in the NFC West. So I'm going to be watching. Carson Beck's going to get the start tonight for Arizona. In a perfect world for the Cardinals, he shows something and maybe they, you know, start to believe that they got something with their quarterback. So while we don't expect much from the Cardinals, if you're a Cardinals fan tonight, you're watching. You want to see Carson Beck ball out.
Yeah, I never thought I'd hear myself saying these words, but that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is watching Carson Beck play quarterback, because it sounds like they're not even going to give Gardner Minshew any snaps tonight. Keaton Slovis maybe will get a little bit of run late in the game, but we could see Beck go start to finish in this one, and we should. There's no better way to develop a young quarterback than to get them reps. We talk about this all the time, how hard it is to develop these guys if they're not playing. Even within the framework of a regular season, the way that NFL teams conduct their practices these days, I'm really encouraged. You know, of course, the things we're hearing out of camp are all positive, but they normally are this time of year, right? You're looking for those things. And when it comes, I spent a lot of time this week really focused on Jalen Milroe, for example, at Seahawks training camp to see how he looks in year two. You're not looking at the things that, at least I'm not, that the typical fan watching on TV is going to be looking for, and this might sound a little bit ludicrous, but you're not necessarily looking for how accurate he is or what kind of numbers he puts on the board. It's the processing, right? It's especially first time playing in a game situation in the NFL. It's how you get out of the huddle. Do you get the play call in time? Do you get the protection set? Do you get all those things? It's really about the process. He could go 10 for 25 tonight, which a lot of people might look at that box score and say, it's kind of a rough start for Carson Beck. But as long as he operates everything smoothly first time out, I think that's a big win for him. And I'm intrigued to see it. They believe in him. Let's see if their belief is well-founded.
And look, this is not a seventh-round pick, right? This is a third-round pick. It's not like somebody that has no chance of ever being something. He's going to be 25 years old. He's played a ton of college football. What do you have, like 50 starts, something like that, in college football? He should come out and not look like the moment is too big for him. You know, I'll never forget Steve Young telling the story of when the 49ers drafted Giovanni Carmazzi. And Giovanni Carmazzi was the heir apparent. And Steve Young said, you know, I got a little nervous because they took this guy here and I'm smart enough to see the writing on the wall. And then he said, I saw him go out there in the Hall of Fame game and look completely shell-shocked. And I was like, okay, I got nothing to worry about. That's what you're trying to avoid if you're Carson Beck. You want to go out, not look like it's too big for you. Look calm, look comfortable, look poised, operate the offense, get the boys in and out of the huddle efficiency, and look like you belong.
Yeah, and if you show a little bit more than that, then, you know, that's frosting on the cake. I especially when he was back at Georgia, obviously, there was a lot to like about Carson Beck. Like he throws a nice ball. He's got a decent amount of arm strength. He's got good size. It's just the thing with him there's been some off-field questions just about personality and that kind of stuff. But he also seems to have matured after his experience at Miami, at least in the way that he presents himself. But it's the turnovers in big moments. It's crumbling in big moments. So I'm with you. If he just goes out there tonight and just looks like an NFL quarterback and how he manages the game, I think that's a win for the Cardinals, regardless of what the score ends up being.
Oh, yeah. It's sort of a weird thing where preseason football is never great football, but there is a certain joy that I extract from just being able to watch and see what happens without the emotional attachment to the outcome, to the score. Like, when I watch 49ers in preseason, I'm rooting for individual players, of course, but like when my son watches, he's 11 years old. If the Niners throw a pick, he's like legitimately mad. And I'm like, dude, it doesn't count. Like, it's okay. It is sort of freeing to be able to just watch it without that emotional roller coaster.
There is something about preseason football that some fans take it as seriously as regular season games. You'll see it if it gets to the end and it's a close game, or from my perspective, if the Seahawks turn the ball over, or they don't pick up a first down, and people get really pissed off, and that needs to get better. That's not going to work. How can they go 0-3 in the preseason? Yeah, it's an annual tradition.
Exactly. But if you're a Cardinals fan, enjoy it. Also, I keep hearing nice things about Reggie Virgil, a wide receiver out of Texas Tech, that he's had a good camp. So maybe you watch that if you're a Cardinals fan as well. But just sit back and enjoy it. And maybe this is the start of something. Who knows? But regardless, it is football for the first time, like I said, in almost 180 days. So we will take it.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
Let's go to Seattle now. You are at Seahawks training camp. There's two things I want to ask you about. I want to ask you about Hard Knocks, which was on. But first, you're there. What have you seen? What have you heard? Just give us the vibe of Seahawks training camp this year, coming off a world championship.
Yeah, and I've gotten to see it from two different perspectives. Yesterday, I was on the berm with a couple of my colleagues that I'm working with this week. And as I said, it wasn't a padded practice. But the day before, I had credentialed access, got to see it from down on the field. It was padded. And the first thing that stood out to me, because, remember last year, I spent a month here covering training camp and had access during that entire time. And so I was curious to see how this year would feel compared to last year. And immediately the thing that stood out to me, two things. One is the comfort level on offense, all that continuity that we've talked about so much, you could feel it, right? 10 starters back, everybody except the running backs, because Kenneth Walker, of course, left in free agency. All 10 of those guys played 700 snaps or more. Plus, there's some returning depth, right, in the receiver core. They brought Rashid Shaheed back in free agency this year. Now he gets a full offseason to work with Sam Darnold. And then you get Torrey Horton back, who looked so good as a rookie last year before he got hurt. So we're getting to see how that dynamic all kind of works together. And then the first-year offensive play caller. So it's just how it really feels like they picked up where they left off in that sense, where last year there was so much newness. And then the other thing is just the intensity level. I mean, not to continue piling on Bucky Brooks for his 7-10 prediction a few weeks ago, but then he went on local radio and tried to justify his position. I don't think he did a very good job of it. And one of the things he talked about is like the typical, when you win the Super Bowl, there's some complacency that sets in. There's no complacency with this group. It's still, it feels like, you know, we've talked about how we felt like they won a year early last year, that maybe we would have expected to be sitting here this year talking about a group that could contend for the Super Bowl. That's what it feels like, how they feel. Like, okay, that was cool, but now this is when we're really going to get some work done. I thought the intensity level was outstanding, and it still just kind of feels like a team that still has something to prove, that's just getting started.
So many young players there. Certainly no reason why they can't replicate it. We will have to wait and see, but if you're a Seahawks fan, you should be nothing but confident. And it fills me with great dread to say that, but that's just the facts of the situation. Like, you are right in that maybe they did win the Super Bowl sort of a year too early, so to speak. But I can also speak from painful experience, Dan, that things don't always work out that way. So that's why it was so important that Seattle won and got the job done when they got there, because you just don't know what's going to happen. But I mean, it is, I don't want to say you're playing with house money, because you have a good team and a good chance to win, but also you did just win the championship last year. That does take a little bit of the pressure off, unlike, you know, a team like the 49ers, who were coming back year after year, either after losing the NFC championship game or losing the Super Bowl.
I think one thing that helps with that a little bit is this is still a really young roster. And the other thing that stood out to me over these 2 days is, and I kind of expected to see this, but being up close makes it even more evident, is just how deep they are. I mean, there's so much depth behind the starters on this team with young guys. And even in the way the coaches are administering practice, there's a lot of mixing and matching happening between guys that are playing on the first team, second team, third team, rookies, some of the second year guys from a year ago that were holdovers from the practice squad or was at the bottom end of the roster. So, I mean, those guys are still trying to be a part of this, and they're still trying to compete for snaps. And Mike McDonald seems like a guy that gives players opportunities. He doesn't just lock in. No one's on scholarship, to use an old phrase. And I do think that adds to that energy and keeps, you know, if there's a vet or two that kind of feels a little bit like they can rest on their laurels, it's tough to do with this roster because someone behind you is trying to take your reps.
Speaking of Mike McDonald, I saw a clip of Hard Knocks, and I think he was talking to Nick Emanwori in his office.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like a very cool guy. He seems just like a smart guy that has sort of the emotional intelligence and the vibe of his team. Is that how he comes across to you in the show and your experience sort of covering him now for a year plus?
Yeah, I think they did a really nice job. They covered a lot of ground in that first episode, but I thought they did a really nice job of establishing kind of the different sides of Mike McDonald. He is kind of awkward at times, kind of goofy and nerdy. And as I was watching it for the first time, I thought there's some people outside of the Seahawks sphere that might look at this and think, not typical of what you expect from an NFL head coach, right? Personality-wise, like, he's pretty transparent and he lets you in. And I thought it was cool that they showed some of that side of it. I can even see how some people could watch some of that and think it's a little cringy. Like, he's a little awkward, but he sort of embraces that even. And he talked about that with Emanwori. He's like, I used to worry about my image, you know, because I thought I had to be like a hot shot, you know, big time coach or whatever. He's like, I'm just me. I'm just myself. I don't give a damn what anyone says. Not even Rex Ryan. From five, he keeps receipts, right? But then you also, then you see him get on the field, right? And it's different when he steps on the field. You can see him be in command, and they showed some of that very first practice where the offense was absolutely kicking the defense's ass, and he was and he was letting his players know it. Like, I've seen some of that, saw it on the field on Tuesday, that kind of intensity, and then we all know about the intelligence. I thought there were a couple of moments that stood out the most. You talk about the conversation with Nick Emanwori and his leadership style, and what was the first thing he said after Emanwori sort of expressed his concerns about how do I act around my teammates with this injury and everything? He said, what do you think I'm going to say? how do you think I'm going to answer that? Right? He put it right back on him and worry to make him think about it a little bit more big picture, as opposed to a lot of coaches would be just like, just work at your rehab, suck it up, just work hard. Right? That would be a pretty typical response from a lot of coaches. And then the other moment was the Cooper Cup. I don't know if you saw that part where they're in McDonald's office and they're looking at a screen. Obviously, we can't see what's on the screen. They're watching tape, and Cup points something out to McDonald, and it's a revelation for McDonald. He goes, oh, because they're under center. And he kind of backs away and he looks at Cup and he goes, why didn't I think of that? That makes all the sense in the world. I mean, it shows Cup's value to that staff and to that team. But for McDonald to have that kind of humility, to be able to accept that someone else, not even one of his coaches, might have seen something on tape that he didn't pick up, I thought that was a really cool moment.
That's why I've wanted the 49ers to be on Hard Knocks for so long, just because this little things like that. It's not like changes your whole opinion of the coach or whatever, but it's information. And I always want more information as opposed to less information. I have to say, when I saw Eamon Wari on the scooter, the one-legged scooter, like, how seriously is he hurt? What's the deal there? Because I saw that and I was like, ooh, they don't give those to people with small injuries.
Yeah, and I think that was shot when I started putting the timeline together. I think that must have been shot like within a day or two after he had the cleanup procedure.
Okay.
He's out there now. He's walking around. He's still got a little bit of a limp. He's got it wrapped. We did our live reaction show last night. I had Corbin Smith on with me, longtime beat reporter for the Seahawks. He's got full access. He still thinks Eamon Wari will be ready by week one. Or as close to it as possible. And it kind of occurs to me that if he's going to miss week one, but it means he'll be 100% ready to go for week two or three, it's probably the most ideal scenario, because it doesn't give the Patriots time to prepare for what they're going to look like without Nick Eamon-Wari, right? They game planned for him 8 months ago with him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it might give McDonald a little bit of a strategic advantage in a sense. Look, the advantage would be having Eamon-Wari on the field. But there's some things I've already seen in practice and some other guys and some different ways that they're going to operate that scheme in the event that Eamon-Wari is not there. But I still think the plan is that he should be ready to practice here in a couple of weeks.
Well, that is good news for Seattle. Good news for all of us. We want to see the best players on the field as much as possible.
Absolutely.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
All right, Dan, as we record this, my San Francisco 49ers are in practice right now. Yesterday, they had 20 people on the 90-man roster either out or not be able to finish practice. Today, good news, that number's down to 16.
First of all, can I say, is there a better new Twitter account to follow nowadays than the Electric Substation?
It's funny and it's mean, but the funny outweighs the mean. I don't follow it just because I don't want to put that kind of juju there. I saw that you do. I was like, okay, it's too good. I get it. As much as it bugs me, I get it.
Yeah. I'll say this. Like, the concept is great. It's worth a follow. It could be funnier. I've seen other, you know, similar type accounts where the manager, the owner of it, is a little bit funnier. But, you know, maybe if he gets big enough, they can start having someone write some jokes for him. But no, that was fun to follow.
The best
one.
Oh, sorry, not to cut you off. The best one.
No,
I saw,
go ahead.
Somebody putting out a video of George Kittle. Oh, George Kittle looks like he's coming back. He's working really working hard his rehab. Hopefully he's ready to go week one. And the Substation quote tweeted it and said, we'll see about that.
Right. Sometimes less is more. Yeah. How concerned are you, man?
I mean, you have to be concerned if you're a 49er fan. And I get it, what some people are saying. And I think there's some truth to that. Like, Dre Greenlaw missed practice with soreness yesterday. He's back out there today. Like, some of it is just generic, like, vet days. They're trying to manage. They've got a lot of veterans that need management, if that makes sense. But the problem with the 49ers is you've just burned through the benefit of the doubt. With all the injuries, going on more than 10 years, even before Shanahan got there. This was an issue going all the way back to 2013, basically. So, yeah, we're just traumatized, you know, and we want everybody to be out there all the time, which is never going to be the case, of course. But, like, we've seen this movie before, literally right down to Ricky Pearsall, who was banged up constantly with that knee injury last year. We waited all year and all offseason to get him back. And two practices in, boom, he's gone for the year because of the same injury. So, yeah. We're traumatized for sure.
Yeah. Well, I feel for you.
Do you really?
I mean that. I mean that too. We've said it. You just said it earlier in the show. I say it all the time. I want every time. I wish if I had three wishes, one of them would be let's have at least one. Can we just have one NFL season where nobody gets injured? Like, let's really see who the cream of the crop is and who's better than who. No excuses, none of that, right? And then you know, let nature take its course after that. Man, I would love to see that. Plus, also, if the players ever became aware that nobody could ever get injured, can you imagine the quality of football we would see? That'd be pretty amazing.
Oh, my God, the hits over the middle. No targeting rules and nobody could get injured. It would be unbelievable. Turn the injury sliders off.
I think we just came up with a movie concept. We should pitch that.
Yeah, I would sign for it right now. The good news on the injury side is that everything right now to this point seems like Kyle Shanahan is progressing in a very good direction as he comes back from the car accident and the concussion. That could change at any time, of course, but at least for right now, what it seems like is he's getting better and better. He's been out there at practice more and more and longer each day. So hopefully that is good as well. The 49ers have injuries to recover from on both sides of the ball.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this. Now, without further commercial interruption, the conclusion of this episode of the 49ers Gold Standard podcast.
Now, let's go to the Los Angeles Rams. Everything seems to be hunky-dory with the Rams. I don't hear about any injuries. I don't hear about anything except Aaron Donald, who looks like he's coming back.
It was, I didn't know whether to be, what am I trying to say? I didn't know whether to be impressed or pissed off with the way that it came out the other day that he actually came in and worked out for him. The fact that it just came out through Aaron Wilson, as these things typically do, because he scours the workout page every single day and just mentioned that, like, this defensive tackle worked out for, because these teams work out players every single day, right? The Seahawks just signed two guys yesterday that have no shot to make the roster, but they fill a couple of back end roster spots for guys that they release or guys that are hurt. And so you see these workouts come out every day, and it's usually nothing more than, oh, I remember scouting him 3 years ago in the draft. Oh, he was an interesting player. Oh, I hadn't heard what had happened to him. But for it to come out and say, players working out for the Los Angeles Rams today, defensive tackle Aaron Donald. Yeah, he's coming back. I know he said it, you know, he reiterated that he's only going to do it if he can feel like he can play at an elite level. I would imagine that he knows that by now and that the workout was probably just a chance for the team to take a physical. Look, add another brick to the wall, you know, add another log to the fire, if you will. Just load them all up. Go sign Von Miller. Go bring, I don't know, whoever you can think of to bring out of retirement. Go sign, make more trades. Go get Max Crosby too. Just throw him in there. And let's just, you know, be Goliath, and we'll all see if we can be David and try to knock them off.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, obviously no opponent of the Rams likes this, but you can't sit there cowering in fear. You just can't, or you're never going to win. So I had a host on my network say, go get Isaac Bruce, go get Marshall Faulk, whoever you want, but you got to beat good teams.
What's Ricky Prohl doing these days?
I don't know. He's probably coaching somewhere. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, good for the Rams. Of course, if you have the chance to do it, you should do it. And why not make your team as good as possible? I completely understand it. But I can't sit here as a 49er fan and cower anymore. I was bummed, just like I was bummed when they got Myles Garrett. But that's over now.
And it'll be really fascinating to see in the next couple of days when they reach an agreement what that contract's going to look like. I'm sure they're going to have to be very creative in how they structure that. It sounds like Donald wants, you know, he's not going to demand Jeffrey Simmons money or Jalen Carter money at this point in his career coming back like this. But he also isn't willing to play for nothing. We've seen those reports. And there is the matter of the money that automatically gets triggered as soon as they activate him. So they're going to have to do something. And there may be some clue in those numbers about where they might sit a year from now when they try to extend some of those other young guys that they have to try to take care of. So it's all just going to add to the story that is the NFL every single year. It's different every week. It's different every season. That's what makes the sport so unique. And I'm excited to see how it unfolds.
I'm just going to say, in the history of the NFL, the quote-unquote super teams rarely win it all. Now, my team, I could say in 1994, the Niners did. They were absolutely a super team, and they won it all. In the history of the NFL in my lifetime, though, that is not usually the case. So we'll have to see. Again, good credit to the Rams. They should do this if they got the opportunity. I'm not blaming them, but I'm also not conceding anything at this point. That's going to do it for this edition of the NFC West Mixtape. Please like and subscribe to both the 49ers Gold Standard podcast and the Seahawks Forever podcast if you want the best independent coverage of each of those teams in the NFC West. Please go and check that out. Dan, always a pleasure. Have a safe rest of your trip, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Are you ready, kids? The SpongeBob SquarePants merchandise is here. And we're talking officially licensed, as seen on apparel and products at the official Paramount shop. Featuring inclusive sizing and gear for fans of all ages. From premium apparel to must-have accessories, head to paramountshop.com/SpongeBob and use code PODCAST20 to get 20% off. That's PODCAST20 at paramountshop.com/SpongeBob. Don't be a Squidward. Grab your gear today.